I said we were on page Reish Dalet. Reish Dalet, Halacha Reish Lamed. Reish Lamed, 230. Reish, page Reish Dalet, Halacha Reish Lamed. Halacha Reish Lamed Vima Adam. Roye Mo'eres Loikim. A person witnesses a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. Can you go to Levana? A lunar eclipse. Sarach Lehis Anois. And this is a big topic of discussion. Why? Why do you have it's a natural occurrence? Isn't that what we assume? You can predict it. You know, go online. You can predict if you know the movement of the heavenly bodies. And if there's anyone that knows the movement of the heavenly bodies, it's the Jews. It says in the pasuk, "Hi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim." So this is predictable. So why then should we have to fast? So maybe what he means here is, when it says that, this is a very big topic of discussion, when it says that you have to fast when you witness a lunar eclipse, who told you to say the word eclipse? That's not what it says. Leiken means something that's not natural. Now, are there such things like this? I have no idea how these things work. When the sun, they talk about the sun, they talk about sunspots. Hey, today they're able to go and tell us that there are the thing called sunspots. The sun's heat at times is hotter, fluctuates. It's hotter, it's cooler, and people that are professionally trained in this are able to tell you that the sun, you know, it's not a constant. The sun is always in a state of change. And the small, even though it's very, very far away from us, the small change that occur in the sun have an effect upon the earth. How long does it take for the rays of the sun to reach the earth? I think 8 minutes. What do they say? How long does it take when 8 minutes? 8 minutes? Mm-hmm. So when there's an explosion on the sun, 8 minutes later, you'll know about it. Okay, and how you know about it? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know how these things work, but small, subtle, little changes. Radiation, there is a magnetic, all different types of things go on, and it has long-term effects, short-term effects, so it's not so clear what it means over here, Lycan, we assume that everything out in space is perfect. It's only man on this earth that's not predictable. Not necessarily true. There are things that are going on in out there in the universe which have an effect upon the earth, its movement, the sun, the moon, which are also not predictable. And also need siyata d'shmai, that everything should go according to plan. And if we see that leiken, there's something that's not according to plan, there's something that's not correct, that means Hashem is upset. And we have to fast. By the way, Betty asked that we say Tehillim for someone downstairs who's having surgery right now. On Thursday, his name is Michal Mendel Ben Shena Sara. May he have a refuah shleima and zchus of learning.
Amen.
Hinda
Bas
Leia. May she have a refuah shleima. Okay, so we have over here Vim Adam Roye Ma'oros Leikin Kogoyin Levana Tzach Lesanis. You have to fast. Shavei Bishvil Chalei Misane. A person, he fasts for himself. Look at what he says over here in the Sefer Chassidim. We already said like this. A person, if you fast for yourself, don't you think you should fast if the whole world is in trouble? What's going on today in China? Okay, what's going on in America? Forget about China. The whole world will go down the drain because of this. Okay, it's 361 people that we know of already died. You know what that means? That's a lot of people right by the side. And how many are sick? China.
What'd you say, how many?
360. 360 that we know of. That we know of. They're probably not, they're in China. In China. They're not telling us how many people really died. Okay, probably, who knows how many thousands died, you know? China is the capital one for, of false information. You only can imagine what's really going on over there, and the sakana that's going on throughout the entire world, and the world economy is in great, great sakana. This is no joke. Not having no contact with all of our products, the whole America trade between China, and everything we have today is made in China. This is a very, very serious matter. So according to the Sefer Chassidim, if he was here today, he would be going to Tainus. I have no doubt about it. If Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was alive today, he would say, this Thursday, fast day. Everyone come to shul, Tainus, Yom Tzayim, the world is on the brink of Chorban. This is an epidemic. This is dvarim that are not poshut at all. We just like to, all right, everything will be okay. Hashem Ya'azar. Hashem Ya'azar. What?
The Ebola thing. Now it's this thing.
It was we dodged a bullet. You know, it was a miracle.
What was he? I don't remember.
Ebola passed a couple of years ago. We dodged a bullet. And then there was another one, SARS. Also, we dodged a bullet. And how long are we going to? Is Hashem ever rachmanis on us? We have to. You know, it's not halavai vaiter. Halavai vaiter. These are not simple things at all. Okay, this is a very complicated world we live in. If he was here today, there's no doubt he'll be going to His Highness. So b'mnei kol ha'olam le'kol shekein. There's a lunar eclipse. You have a Highness when 360 people died from a disease that's contagious, that there's no cure for, and the whole world has now isolated, no travel. And things they've done now they've never ever done before, not Ebola, not SARS, complete isolation to a country that is the center of the world economy. This is something that is unprecedented, and like kol shekein, would it not be a tainus? That's what he says. When a navi kishahaya roya put on new yois haya mispal, when a navi would see puranas come upon the world, haya mispalo. See, if we had leadership, see, if we had today Jewish leadership, real Jewish leadership, that's what they would do. Today we live with Dar Yosem. Just Olam Hefker. You don't see any, if you're a religious Jew, you know, you just don't walk, you walk around in the days. Read the words. Read a chassid. He says it the way it is. We have organizations that we look up to for leadership that really have not really done us justice. I'm not trying to criticize. We're not roy to fast. Okay, issue a statement. Issue a statement from the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, if I was sitting on the board of one of these organizations, I would demand that the leadership issue a statement from not one person, from the whole rabbinic authority of that organization, that we're religious people, and anything that happens in this world is in order. That's what religion is all about. Anything that happens is not a chance, it's not a coincidence, and take it to heart. And the person should go and be makabel, at least, like, you know, not forever, just like, you know, we're not gonna isolate these people forever, 14 days. Someone was in China, so you gotta quarantine 14 days. So for the next two weeks, you know something? Maybe you should do something for the next 2 weeks. Do something different for the next. You can't tell a person to go change his whole life around. That's obviously not going to work. But we're dealing here with something that's very unusual. And if in the secular world things are going to be totally shut down for the near future, so don't you think in the religious world there should be some demand? As a religious person, that you should make a cheshvan hanefesh and make a small, teeny little change. So how come everyone is asleep? I'm not coming to criticize because I wouldn't be any different. But I'm saying, this comes to highlight we're really groping in the darkness. Okay, we're groping in the darkness. We're living in times where we have everything, Torah everywhere. It's in the air. Torah is all over. Sima shas. Look at the books. Look at all these books. These books over here. Everyone is teaching you mussar, and humility, and their cheretz. All these books, and there's so many of them on the wall over here. And yet, sometimes you go online, you read things online, like water everywhere, but nothing to drink. Nothing to drink. Okay? It's amazing. Really is amazing. I saw headlines recently of something I could not be masik. How you can do something, you can insult someone like this. I mean, look at all the books on the shelf. Where is everyone? I don't know. If he was here, Yehuda Chassid, and he says the lunar eclipse, you would fast, I have no doubt he would say that this time, what's going on in the world now today with the sakana that has been perceived, which has caused governments of the world to take action that they've never, ever taken before, would be cause for alarm, a cause for a cheshbon hanefesh. The Omer Lochem, the Nevi'im, that's what the Nevi'im did. The Chein Hanavi. When they fast, it's not acceptable. He's saying that Hashem was rejecting their fast in that particular case because they were doing averos. But at least they would fast. At least, in that context, he was expressing that when you are in trouble, you're supposed to fast. Let's go further. Let's see. Look on the side on the right side. Ki yatsumu eineni v'gam akosav mashma shiyoyim alochem shiyatsumu. This pasuk in Yirmiyah, even though Yirmiyah, the pasuk says that Yirmiyah himself was fasting, it implies in this pasuk that he's instructing the people to fast. The le'elmenek sivayim Hashem elai. Don't daven for these people. They're goners. They're terrible sinners. The achakachsiv ki yotsumu. If they fast, ulufi mashmois hakosuf. We learn Yirmi once upon a time here. And according to the mashmois hakosuf, al tispalil. The al Yirmiyah ka'omar. Hashem said to Yirmiyah, sha'al yaseh shum davar. Sha'afim yaseh. Even if he will do something, I'm not going to listen to you because it's already too late. Too late. Imkein mashma sheyirmiyah amar leh sheyatsumu. Yirmiyah was still trying to rally. If Hashem is telling Yirmiyah, don't daven, don't do anything, that's mashma that Yirmiyah was still trying to rally the people to daven. V'shaper kamar she'afim tase davar she'toyim alochem sheyatsumu. Even if you're going to try to persuade the people to do teshuvah and to fast, I'm sorry, my patience ran out. It's too little, too late. You've gone down this path already so many times. It's not going to help. Yasekin v'yatsumu, ki yatsumu eineni. It's not going to make a difference. But from that psuk mitzmashim, that Yirmi was still trying at the very, very end to get people to daven, to fast. From now we learn that that's indeed the proper thing to do. Reish lamed aleph. Ma shemis anin b'yom shemes avihen. Now we come to everyone's favorite topic. To fast on a yard site. Whoever told you to fast on a yard site? Where did that come? Who invented that idea that you're supposed to fast on a yard site? The person died. He's in another world. What do you want from him? What are you fasting? What is this all about? Even in general, why does a person get into an ugly fight on the yard site of their relatives? Because he wants the amud. He wants musaf. He wants davening. On a yard site, everyone gets worked up. Gotta go. Anyone who has yard sites, stay away from them. because they're in a very bad mood. I remember one year I had yard sight, I exploded. I was a guy I didn't like, and I was in a very bad mood, and I saw him, and I just let it out. And someone who was an observer said to me, "It's because today is the yard sight. That's why you did what you did. It's because deep down inside you all worked up." You're all worked up, so you had... Why? Why is she all worked up? What's the yard site? What is time? So we're very fortunate because there's not much written on this. And the Gemara talks about yard site? Does the Gemara actually talk about yard site? Yoim, the Mishnah does mention it. Yoim Shemes by Aviv. It does mention it. I think it does mention the idea of yard site. But it doesn't explain to you what it's all about. It just says a day of a yard site. So he explains a little bit. Ma shemisanin, this is from 800 years ago. Biyoim shemes avihen. Shrei David hisano al shol ki kiro'oi avi. Unbelievable, where are you going to get this from? You're not going to see this anywhere else. A source for this comes from David HaMelech. David fasted for Shaul. It says in the Pasuk, and why did he fast for Shaul? Shaul was not his blood relative. In fact, Shaul wanted to kill him. Shaul tried many times to kill David. He was paranoid, taking away my malchus. So So he tried to kill him. He threw the sword at him. He did a lot of things to David to try to kill him. He had to run away, run for his life. Yet, David called Shaul his father. Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael. He called him his father. Avi. What? Father-in-law. But he called him that, but the father-in-law is not a father. You don't. There's no din of fasting or doing anything on the yard side of a father-in-law. There's no halacha. There's no halacha to do anything on the father-in-law. The wife does. Not you. But David viewed Shaul as his father. Okay, he had a very close relationship with him. He viewed him as his father. And he fasted. So what do you learn from that? He fasted. It seems to me over here from this Chazal that if I have to, I don't look up the Pasuk, but I believe what he says over here, that he fasted on his yard site. On the day Shaidavid his Anna al Shaul, he fasted. It seems from the way he understands the Pasuk, I didn't look up the Pasuk, that he fasted not just on the day that he died, when he got message that David, that Shaul died, he fasted every year. Why did he fast every year? Because he called Shaul his father. If in Nach, you call someone your father, it means he's your father. Not like today, everything today is lies and flattery and make-believe world. We live in a world of make-believe. But in the time of the Chazal, in Nach, it was the real world. If you called someone your father, it meant you're my father. Even though not necessarily biologically, but it meant you viewed him as your father. Hamagadel yosoy b'sech beisoy ki'ilu yoldoy. If you raise an orphan in your home, it's as if you actually gave birth to him. With some, likewise, he fasted for Yehoyna's son. Why? Because Yehoyna's son was like his brother. The al Avner. Avner was his general. Ki yesh lotzum al misas odom choshev. Now Yehoyna's son there doesn't say who called him his father. But Yoinah's son and Avner. Avner was the general of David.
Shaul.
What? Shaul was the king. No, Shaul was, I'm sorry. It was the general of Shaul. I'm sorry, right? Yoav was David's general. Was the general of Avner. Correct. Avner was the Shaul's general. And when he was murdered, he fasted. Yesh lotzum al misas odom choshev. Uchsev. Huirel. Now, here's an incredible chish. You're not going to see this anywhere but the Sefer Chassidim. And also, Yaakov Avinu says, Uchsev. Al kin lo yoyachlu b'nei shal zgir hanosheh. Well, ki amru, look at this pshat, ki hoil since ufashanu. Why did Yaakov Avinu limp? He was injured. Why was he injured? Because he went back in the middle of the night to get the pachim ketanim. Why did Yaakov Avinu go back alone? How come no one escorted him? Yes, Yaakov had 10 at this time. How many children did he have? He had 11 children at this point in time. So 11 children, they couldn't take shifts. One child couldn't be with their old father and go and be with him. And the father goes out in the middle of the night across the yam. Someone should have school, he has to go out all alone. One father can take care of 10 children, but 11 children can't take care of one father.
A mother.
What?
Maybe a mother.
A mother? A father can do it. A father can multitask. You say that a father, he's saying a father can, a father, he can't chew gum and walk at the same time. So certainly he can't take care of 11 children at the same time. He's saying very good. He's saying true. He's saying it's a very good point. Okay? Men cannot multitask. It's a fact. A man cannot. I was listening to a TED talk. You know what a TED talk is? It was talking exactly about this topic, and it was describing that he was not this guy, that he's not able to basically do the laundry and do his own laundry and work his work at the same time, or fry an egg and at the same time do something else. But his wife, she can be doing 20 things at the same time. She's on the phone doing the laundry, checking up on this kid's appointment, and also doing work at the same time and checking at the same time her smartphone, the prices for good deals to go buy a pair of shoes, and planning for the Shabbos, making arrangements for Shabbos Shev Brachos this week. You can be doing, a woman can be doing 10 things at the same time, and a man can literally cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. That's the reality. That's the way Hashem made men. What's the trade-off? This is not nice. Baruch Hashem, there are no women over here in this room. Men have the ability to generally have the ability to delve very deep into something. Women have a harder time going deep. Men have the ability, the trade-off is, a man cannot multitask, but a man has the ability to be yoyred l'soif oimkai shel davar. Women have a harder time with that. They could also do it, but it's not natural to them, it's harder. Zeh l'uma zeh barulukim. So he's saying that a man cannot take care of 11 children, he got a good point. But a mother can. But 10 children, unfortunately, can't take care of one mother. So here over here, Yaakov Avinu, how come nobody accompanied Yaakov Avinu when he crossed the Yarden? Lekach era loy, that's why Bishlenu, that is why Yaakov Avinu, he suffered. He was all alone, and that's what gave the Sar Shel Esav an opening to go attack him. He was injured. Therefore, we have to remember for the rest of our lives, our chait, our sin, that we were responsible for the harm that came to Yaakov Avinu. Lekach nadru shlolecha. He says over here something that is shocking. It says here nadru. They took a vow. Where in Tanakh does it say that Yaakov's children took a vow? Where do you get this from? A vow. Al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael esgid hanasha. The Sefer Chasidim says a pshat that you're not going to see anywhere else. He says when it says al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, we like to interpret the pasuk like a briska. We're all brisk. We're all from the school of brisk when we read this pasuk in Chumash. Al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid hanosha. It's a din. It's a din. It's a din. The Ribbono shel Olam was goizer. He was goizer. Al kain. Who is the speaker? Who is the speaker of that pasuk? Mi Omar el mi. The Chidon HaTanach. You go on the Chidon HaTanach and they ask you this question. Mi Omar el mi. Al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael esgid hanosh. It's a great question for the Chidon HaTanach. No? Okay? Lo yoichlu. So what would you answer? Hashem Omar el Klal Yisrael. Lo yoichlu esgid hanosh. Why? Because of the story of the Sar Shel Esav. If the Sefer HaChasidim was a judge, he would go, ding. You go, buzz. Wrong answer. Mi Omar el mi? B'nei Yisrael Omar el Hashem. Al kein lo yechlu b'nei Yisrael. It's a record that when they saw the Tata come home the next day limping, Dad, what happened to you? Why are you limping? Went for hip surgery overnight? And then tell us? What happened? What happened?
Overnight.
What?
Day surgery,
what happened to you, Dad? Yesterday you were a sprinter, and today you can't even walk Dalet Amos. What happened to you, Dad? I went back last night to get the Pachim Ketanim, you know, those 5-cent deposit bottles? You know, the Coca-Cola bottles, like what they do? I went back to get them. And what happened? I was attacked by a demon, by the Sar Shel Esav. So they all had a meeting. It's our fault. What happened to Dad? Because we did not have Derech Eretz. So you know what? As a consequence for our indiscretion, we, the brothers, accept upon ourselves that forever we will never eat the Gid Hanosha as a punishment. Mi Omar al Mi, Yisrael Omar el Hashem, we makabel upon ourselves a neder not to eat the Gid Hanosha. Isn't it incredible? Go find me a Rishon that says this pshat. No one says a pshat. We learn this pshat in the pasuk. It's a din like a briska. Al kain, this is a din. It's a din in the gavra, in the chefza. The ribbono shel olam was goizer. There's a chefza di yisura of gid hanosha, and the man is the gavra, and the gavra is not allowed to eat the chefza di yisura. That's the way you learn pshat in the pasuk. Nope. It's a din neder. Pili ployim. That's what it says over here. Lekach nadu shlolecha l'gir anoshev dover acher dinhu l'fi shehoav ha'ben guf echad v'din sheyitztaru habonim. Then he says it's a din. Now this, I don't really get full grasp of what he means by this. There's another reason why is we're mishtatif in a sar. I guess that's what it means. Is that if your father is in pain, you just don't sit back and do nothing. If your father is in pain, then it's a din that your father, their guf echad, v'din sheyitztaru habanim. If your closest relative is in pain, it's not right. You should go to the circus. If a relative of yours is having surgery that day, one day, you don't go to the circus. The day they're having surgery. if their frame of mind is, what's going to be? What's going to be? I'm in tsar. So you're going to remove yourself from that tsar. I'm free from that tsar. I'm just going to go off into the wild blue yonder. It's not their hearts. There's a din of musar in this world to be mishtatef with b'tzarasan shel Yisrael and certainly your own bostav adam b'besarcha al tesalim, and that's why we do not eat the gid hanasha, to be mishtatef in the tsar of Yaakov Avinu whose gid hanasha was dislodged. We're not going to put into our bayich a delicious gid hanasha. Unbelievable. Okay, two different mahal from why we don't get yours. So now, how does that all apply to the yard site? He doesn't really say. Okay, he leaves it hanging. All he really did for us, we have to extrapolate, based upon other Amari Chazal. And we have to say, is, number one, we have an awesome makar for fasting on a yard site. David HaMelech. David fasted every single year on the yard site of three people. Shaul, Avner, and Yehoinasan. I don't know where you're going to find that in the Pasuk. We have to go back to the Pesukim and read the Pesukim very, very carefully. And obviously, the same way when it came to Gid Hanoshe, the result of what the Sefer HaChasidim said forced us to understand the Pasuk differently than the common understanding. It's very likely that when we will study Sefer Shmuel and learn about David's reaction to Avner, Yehoinasan, and Shaul, and we read about the fact that he fasted, we're going to be forced to understand that it means, from the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and his Mesoira, he was makabel to fast every single day. Now if that is a fact, we accept that to be a fact, the Mesoira from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that is a gilui for us, that we also have to fast every year on the yard site of a loved one. Someone that's choshuv, or an av, a father, a parent, or a loved one, an adam chashuv. It's not for nothing that it says in Shulchan Aruch that you fast on Zayin Adar. It doesn't say in Shulchan have a choice. If you want, you can fast. If you don't want, you don't fast. It says, Zayin Adar, you fast. It's the Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. You don't have a choice. Okay? On the ninth day of Adar, you're supposed to fast. We don't know why. Mishnah Berurah says, I know why. The Knesset, it says in the... It says in the Test Teves. Why do you fast? So it says in Mishnah Berurah from the Knesset HaGedoyla. It's because it's the yard site of Ezra HaSeifer. That's it. You don't have a choice. That's the way it is. You have a choice. Okay, we don't fast today, but at least to appreciate what it means to be mishtatef in the tsar. Now, that's a makar. Then he goes on to say something about tsar, or something about responsibility. Now he doesn't say this, and I'm reading words into the past, into what it says it doesn't say. But I'm saying over here is what other mafarshim say, and you put it together. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. And it says that on the yard side of a person, the neshama is subject to din. We don't know how this works. No one came back to tell us how it works up there. But on the yard site, the calendar yard site of a neshama, in Shamayim, they take him out his place of resting, his makom menucha, and they bring him to the Beis Din Shel Maila, and he has a din. There's a court case, and they judge him. And they judge him, you died X number of years ago, what has happened since the last year? The things, the people that you've left over in this world and the chinuch you've given them, what did it result in? Did they do mitzvahs? Did they do good? Is your influence on this world, has it brought good and benefit to this world? Or maybe your children, Rachman Litzlan, your grandchildren, whatever they are, they looked at you and they said, if dad was like that, so we also can be like that. If dad, we went to the movies Saturday night, so we also go to the movies Saturday night, and that led to doing other averos. So there's a judgment, there's a din. When the neshama goes to the Beis Din Shel Maila on day of his own petira, he has tsar. He's nervous, he's anxious. If he is anxious, it is our duty to be anxious on this world as well. It's not nice to sit back and go on vacation on the yard site. If the neshama is subject to din, if we have emunah that this is correct, we have emunah that these are, no one can tell you what's going on, it's all a matter of emunah, everything comes back to emunah, that this is what's happening on this day, so it's our duty to be mishtatef in this anxiety. If he's in a state of anxiety, we have to be in a state of anxiety. We have to do things for his zchus that he should get through the din. That's what he says about tsar. Then he talks about responsibility. The first thing is responsibility. It was our fault. It was our fault that he was injured. And therefore, we have to take upon ourselves and acknowledge our responsibility. The same idea. He's our father. We're responsible for him. He brought us into this world. When you come into this world, there's a ticket to Gan Eden, whatever that means. Coming into this world guarantees you're going to have a chilek in Gan Eden. So who do we have to thank for that ticket to Gan Eden? Our father. So we have a responsibility to him. If today he's going through din, so we have a responsibility to behave ourselves for his benefit. It's just basic responsibility. The first mahalach appears to be responsibility. The second mahalach is something moral. Is not just responsibility, if someone is in pain, you also should be in pain. Feel the duty, imoy anochi b'tzara, to feel that responsibility. If you want to go to something which is nasty, which I don't think, I mean, I'm not a nice guy, but if you want to say this is maybe pushing the envelope, and it really is, so I'm not really saying this, even though I am, so you never heard this from me, but just I'm just telling you what's going on in my mind is, why people like to blame themselves. They like to blame themselves. Why did Dan die? We didn't send him to a good doctor. We knew the symptoms. We saw the symptoms years ago. We should have pushed him. People have a tendency to blame themselves. Had they done things differently, it would have turned out differently. You never heard someone saying to themselves, when I saw the symptoms 3 years ago, I should have done teshuva. And I should have said Asher Yotzar better. Because if I'm saying Asher Yotzar better, then Mimela il zuchus for my father that he should not get sick. I should have behaved better. You only have people questioning themselves. They should have gone to this doctor, that doctor. They don't challenge themselves. You don't hear them saying, challenge themselves. I should have been spiritually, I knew what was going on. I sensed it. I should have been careful not to do averos. So, and it happened. So now that things did not work out the way we planned, I'm guilty. Because I'm guilty, I caused his death spiritually. I need a kapara for myself. I have to fast. I didn't say that. Because you can't say that. Or could you? Okay, could you say such a thing? Not in this generation. In this generation, you can't really say. That's not a mahalich.
A person may say that to themselves. I didn't do it.
You can't say something. For sure you can't. But can you even say it to yourself? I don't even know if today anyone can even can say that to themselves. Blame yourself spiritually and with consequences for someone's patira. Someone dies. He died young. He shouldn't have died. He should have definitely lived another 10 years. So you blame yourself. You know why he died? I'm his child. A child is an extension of the father. I was doing averos.
I could have, I should have done
teshuvah. I'm not talking. People blame themselves. I should have sent my father to a better doctor. I should have been there. I should have done this. I should have done that. Okay, that's one. But you can also say, I should have said Asher Yotzar with more kavana. I should have davened better. I should have learned better. I should have not done so many averos. Every avera, you know, Hashem lowers his shemira. When a person does an avera, Hashem doesn't protect you to the same degree that he ordinarily would. And because I did not behave in a dignified way in Ruchnias, that's why my father, my parent died prematurely. And therefore, I'm guilty. And because I'm guilty, I need to fast, not because of my father. Father's in Gan Eden. He doesn't need me to fast for him. I have to fast because it's my fault. I'm a bad person. I'm a murderer. Now, can you, I just said an explosive statement. Can you say such a thing? So Mr. Mirillis is a billion times percent correct. You, today you can dare Yaharigval Yavar to say this to someone else. You should fast on the yard site because it's your fault that your father died. He should have lived another 10 years because you were a balaver. Mm. You say this to someone else, puff, you go up in a puff of smoke. You're finished. Can you say this to yourself? 50 years ago, 100 years ago, I believe people would say this to themselves. And I believe there's a kernel of truth, and that's why they fasted on the yard site. They fasted on the yard site because they blame themselves spiritually. Okay, it's not just you're fasting because my father, today it's the Yom HaDin. It's not just he or because he's anxious, so I should be anxious. No, forget about it. That's also true. You're fasting because I blame myself for his death. I should have been a holy person. If you're a holy person, Hashem protects your environment. My environment includes my father. So because I'm not a holy person, you know, there was a breakdown in the protection, in the defense, in our iron dome, and that's why this happened. So maybe 100 years ago, you can say that to yourself. I don't think today you can say this. I don't think we live in a world today where it's correct, fair, even a very, very big tzaddik can say such a thing. I think it's wrong to say such a thing today. I don't believe in that today. What are you saying, Mr. Bloom? What are you saying?
So what do we do today?
We okay, that's something else. Today is today. Before we come to what we do today, but we're going to come down one moment. We'll come down one moment. But let's first go back in time and understand that there is such a thing as fasting on a yard site. This is not make believe. There's a real thing. There's a real thing, and this was done from time immemorial. People would fast on a yard site, and we have over here the Sefer Chassidim is telling us things we never heard before. I never heard this before. It comes from David HaMelech, who in his tradition, the Sefer Chassidim, fasted on the yard site of three different types of people. His father, who he called Shaul, his closest friend, Yehoina's son, and an Adam Gadol. And by extension, know what that means? That a person today has to fast on the day of the yard site of his Rebbe, like Shaul, who is father in Torah, and has to fast on the yard side of Rachman al son of a friend, and has to fast on the yard side of an Adam Gadol, of a great person, a Gadol Hadar dies, that you have connection to, you have to fast on the yard side. Pile Ploim, okay? And then he tells us another Yisoid of why we fast. It's because of Gid Hanoshe. And in the Gid Hanoshe, he says two things. Number one, responsibility. Forget about ethic, responsibility. It's our fault. Our fault. And then he says, Yaakov is Bitzar. We have to be Bitzar. Translate that into a yard site. He doesn't explain. You have to extrapolate. I'm extrapolating based upon what everyone else says, is that the yard site is the Yom Hadin. It's a Yom Hadin for the Neshama. The Neshama is in Tsar, is in a matzav of anxiety. So therefore, responsibility. We have to be responsible. We have to also fast to help him out. Or, if he's in a matzav of anxiety, imoy anochi b'tzara. And then I told you a whole new mahalich, a whole new wild idea, which I told you today, I don't think applies at all, but at least you should appreciate the principle of it, is you should blame yourself. That's right. You should blame yourself in a healthy way. In a healthy way for the tzara of one of your relatives. You should blame yourself in a religious way. And therefore, on the yard side, you recall what happened, and it's your fault. You have an achrayis to yourself to do teshuva. Today, can you say such a thing? I wouldn't say such a thing today at all, but at least maybe 100 years ago we would. Now, let's talk practical halacha. You want to say something? I want to talk practical now. Let me just say the practical thing, let's ask a question. Halacha l'maisa. Do you see people today fasting on yard sites?
Some do.
Few and far in between. Okay, few and far in between. You see people, they don't even want to fast on Yom Kippur, looking for excuses. So you tell me they're going to fast on someone's yard site? I don't know about you. I don't see you too often. There are few and far in between. I can't fast my parents' yard site. I can't. I don't have a koyach to fast. My brother? What? Yes, yes, Shulchan Aruch, yes, yes. You should fast, yes, yes, yes. You should fast. Your day, you should fast. Okay? My brother, I don't know, one brother I know, he fasts. He always fasts. Every yard side he fasts. Baruch Hashem. Halavai Vait, Baruch Hashem. He has to fast. What? Both, yeah, of course. Both, of course. By the Sfarim, only the father?
More than I'm father?
Both. You went by the Sfarim, what do? They only have the name of the father?
43 years, I am fasting.
For both?
Both.
Mother and father. Ashrecha. You should continue to fast, have a koyach to fast forever. Yeah. For many, many more years. Baruch Hashem. Svarty. What?
Svarty. Not only do they fast, I have a brother-in-law that holds a whole week.
A whole week of fasting?
Not fasting.
Tainus Dibur. Okay, very nice.
From Shabbos night until the
end of the
week. Or the week has murne, not shaving, not seeing.
Wow.
From Motzoi Shabbos.
Okay, these are very, very, very big chumras. Okay, everyone has their minhag. Personally, what I see from people that I know in my circles of people, it's like I told you, it's few and far in between. People are very weak today. We live in a very, very... That's the way it is. Everything today is watered down. That's the way it is, whether we like it or not. They're healthier in body, not in mind. They're strong in not in spirit. They don't have the desire. They don't have the desire. They don't have the will. It doesn't mean anything. They don't believe in it. They don't feel anything. So they. But you're right. They're healthier today, but they don't have the will, the stamina to go through with it. You're right. That's the mistake. So therefore, and that also counts for something. It also counts. So people did. So what do they do instead? They do instead. It's very nice. Instead is they make tikkun. Mm-hmm. What is tikkun? You bring in food to shul. Now, it used to be years ago, in time memorial, tikkun started because people were poor. Didn't have what to eat. People are still very poor. Don't make any mistake about it. But there used to be people who were destitute. Okay, were destitute. There were no government programs. There was nothing. There were no shelters, no homeless centers. And they literally did not have what to eat. By you bringing in food, you're giving them something they would not have. So that's an incredible mitzvah. You do on the day of the yard site a beautiful mitzvah to put food in a person's baichel, in their stomach. Even if the person doesn't make a bracha. Not everyone that would come makes bracha. See, I remember the Lower East Side, they were poor people. The old-timer, they were like, I don't know if they had money or not. They would come to the shuls, they would sit in the street corners. They weren't really religious, they were Jewish. They were Holocaust survivors, they remembered the Altaheim. They were Jewish. Did they make brachas? Not necessarily. They daven. They would come to shul. There'd be a tikkun. They would take a little schnapps. You machaya them. That you give them food. They don't make a bracha, so that's not your problem. That's not your business. Mind your own business. It's not the bracha. You give someone what to eat. The Baruch Hashem today, Chaste Hashem kilo samu. Chaste Hashem. People Baruch Hashem have what to eat. Baruch Hashem. Halavai Vaiter. And many people can have a lot to lose. They'd be a lot better off going on a diet and losing some weight. So they come to shul and you make them tikkun. They don't need your tikkun. Okay, they don't need the cholesterol, the sugar, the alcohol. They don't need this. This is not in their best interest. So what are you doing for them? So you're giving them a little hana. Oh, so now I became a new religion. The new religion is make a bracha. Make a bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem, look at him, Mr. Bloom, he missed the whole modern day, all the stuff at the start. Baruch Ato Hashem, look at him, Elohim, Shakol, Niyem, make brachas. So today, we don't need the food, so today became a new thing, is that you're putting out tikkun in the shul to make a bracha. To make a bracha. Or sinas chinam. You give someone food, they become your best friend. You give food, everyone loves you. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Everyone know that? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So it's good on the yard side to be marbe, ahava, v'achva, v'reus, some food to eat. You put someone in a good mood, some glucose in the brain, you loosen up a person, and icing on the cake, you make a bracha with kavana. So what's so terrible? What's so terrible? It's good. Now that does not mean that you should also eat. If you have the ability to fast, you do both. Today, you fast. But for everyone else, you provide tikkun. For everyone else, you provide tikkun. If you cannot fast, because like we said, not everyone is in a frame of mind. They have the desire, they have the ability, the frame of mind to fast. Okay, so you'll also eat with them. But if you can, there's no contradiction to you fasting and everyone else eating. And today, like I said, it's not really a matter of giving them food because they don't need your food. And in fact, they would be a lot better off without your food. Ask their wives, and they'll confirm that to be 100% correct. And their doctor will double stamp it, even though the doctor himself, behind closed doors, eats all the chazara himself. But he'll tell you they're better off not eating. So we still do it to be marbe ava v'achva v'reyus, and to at least make a bracha with kavana. That is how it evolved into the 21st century. Mr. Bloom.
I heard it differently.
Yes?
People couldn't fast. So they would sit and learn Mishnayos.
Okay.
And then give the tikkun.
Make a siyum.
Yeah. Okay. But today, the Mishnayos has gone. It's just
what do you learn Mishnayos? What does the Mishnah have to do with the food?
That he couldn't fast, so therefore...
They made a siyum?
He made a siyum.
So you're saying is the food was really the siyum.
But today, that part
is also gone. Saying there's another dimension. People. He's saying a new dimension. He's saying another inyan, which I never heard of, which I certainly is true. Is that after people stopped fasting because it was too difficult, at least they would make a siyum. They would make a siyum. They would learn. And when you make a siyum, you have food. So it became customary. Every yard side is going to be a siyum when davening is over. And davening always the siyum always has food. But if there is no siyum, then there is no food. Because who needs the food? The food is not an advantage if there is no siyum. But because people only come for the food, they don't care about the siyum. So I'm a mela today when you don't fast, you don't make a siyum, at least do not deny the food. Okay, so these...
It's on the part of Tanis Tuchoi, when you come to a siyum. If you're supposed to fast, but you come to a siyum.
No, so that's really an old thing, that we don't want you to fast on Erev Pesach. But that's all the different shmuz. Erev Pesach, Tanis Bukharim, we actually don't want you to fast. We don't want you to fast. We want you to go into Pesach not exhausted. If all the firstborns are going to fast, they're going to be exhausted.
But the Bukharim are supposed to fast.
They're supposed to fast.
They run,
it's a modern thing that we make to fast. A thousand years ago,
They run fastly.
Of course. Because they need to hear, if they don't hear a siyum, they have to fast.
They're running to the siyum.
But 1,000 years ago, there were no siyum. 1,000 years ago, they fasted the entire Pesach. Already for almost 1,000 years, people got weak. The Hamoinam could not, it was not viewed to be proper because they were very tired when they came into Pesach and it took away from the whole Simchas Yamdiv. So it became a minute to make a siyum. All right, that is, we're going to slot a lot of fascinating stuff here about from the Sefer Chassidim, this we spoke about. We'll stop here, take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the Mon. Today is Yom Shlishi L'Parashas B'Shalach.
Parashas Haman.
So therefore, I want to talk about Parashas Haman after the break.
When did the Tikkun come in?
The Tikkun? Recently. Recently. 300 years, 200 years. About later even.
It's the difference between Hasidim and Misnag.
Why? Today is all the same thing.
When someone's died, you know, they...